and a new year. You know, I'm looking out and I know I see God's people, and I know all of you pretty well. And I don't know, as you sit here today, if you ever, do you ever feel like the Christmas blues, you know? And I'm looking at God's people today saying, nah, probably not. But sometimes Christmas can, you know, it can be a busy time, okay? It can be draining, and with, you know, it can be just busy. And, you know, people go to parties and they do a lot of shopping and, you know, and try to keep church events actually to a minimum, and we didn't even have Bible class last week just to keep it real simple. But you got family visits, and you know, a lot of stuff going on. For some families, there can even be tension. You know, family getting together is not always good. And then we got a new year coming in. Today is New Year's. Happy New Year's, by the way, and energizing us. New year, right? New prospects, new dreams, new plans. You're going to make your annual resolution, you know, your diet one or whatever it is, okay? You're going to get out of debt, okay? You're going to not try new things, better things. Now, having said that, you ever stop to consider maybe how backward what I just said sounded maybe? Shouldn't it be Christmas that energizes us and the new year that makes us tired, okay? We think about the fast pace, okay? That'd be Christmas should energize us. So often we approach New Year's like that as the time to energize. No, we should be energized at Christmas, okay? C.S. Lewis said that the central Christian belief is that Christ's death has somehow put us right with God and given us a fresh start. Wow. So Christmas should absolutely energize us. Christmas should ignite the soul. It should give us a passion for God, okay? It should invite us to think of new steps, new hopes, maybe new plans for the year. Maybe it means that when we think of at Christmas time, start planning some things. Maybe we have to change some things. Maybe gain a fresh start in Christ. Paul, in his letter to the Colossian church here, in verse 13, talks about the Father bringing believers into the kingdom of the Son he loves. That's right. Paul tells the Colossians that the Father has brought them into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Or some of your translations say the Son of his love. So he's brought them into one kingdom from another kingdom. Because if he brought them into the kingdom of the Son he loves, that means they were in another kingdom. I want to tell you something. That's a fresh start. That's a fresh start. It's a kingdom where Christ in his love and power equips you and me with the Holy Spirit and brings freshness into our lives. I mentioned we go from one kingdom into Christ's kingdom. The other kingdom has to do with Ephesians talks about the rulers and authorities and the principalities and powers of the air, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. That's the other kingdom. Well, we've been brought into the kingdom of the Son he loves, into the kingdom of righteousness. Been given his Spirit and a fresh start on life. So, this is the church. Understand that. If you're not a part of the church, meaning a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you haven't gotten into that kingdom yet. But in the text today, Paul writes about the church of Colossae, and he writes to the church, and he explains to them how it all, listen to this, it all starts with God. It all starts with God. None of you are going home today if you go into that parking lot unless you take that little key and put it into the ignition, okay? I don't know if you're looking out, and probably none of you run races anymore, but I've ran in them before, you know, and usually there's a starting line, okay? In a foot race, there's a starting line. If you're a painter, usually you start with what? A blank canvas. All of those things serve as starting points. Well, today in our text, Christ is the starting point. Christ serves as a starting point for a Christian. Christ serves as a starting point for the Christian and for the Lord's church and for your prospects for the new year. Look at the text with me, if you would, verse 13. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15 says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Wow. I want you to see something in the text there. Well, first of all, Paul begins with a foundational theological tenet in verse 15. That Jesus is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn, or you could put the word preeminent, because firstborn, it's a Greek word, prototokos, and it means the preeminent one. So he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn or preeminent one over all creation. Verse 16, Paul acknowledges God, or in this case, Christ, as the creator of all things. Verse 16, he says, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. And then he talks about thrones, powers, rulers, and authorities. Even those things have their being because of him. So he's the creator of all things. You watch a sunset, and with all of its different orange hues, you know, how beautiful that can be. Or maybe you get up early in the morning and you watch the sun glistening across the dew on the ground. I want you to know something. God created it. Yeah. You ever look outside and you see the hawk? I see them outside the church all the time. We got a lot of hawks around here, and they're out there, and they're just catching their flight in the winds there. I want to clue you in on something. Guess who created it? God created it. You ever see a deer run across the field as it bounds and it leaps, and it does it with grace and power, and when it gets to the end of the field, it goes right over that fence. I've seen it. It's beautiful. And I want you to know God created it. You ever been on a cruise? I haven't. But I have been down to Ocean City, Jersey, in the water there, and I've watched the dolphins as they arced and they angled out of the water and back in. The youth group loved it. Just to look out there and see them across the water. Guess what? God created it. You ever look down and you see those little black things on the ground? The little small things. What do you call them? Ants. That's what it is. It's an ant. And, you know, I look down and on top, it was like this one ant had a boulder on top of his head. And he was carrying something. I think it was food. But it's like a boulder on top of his head. Guess what? God created it. Storing up that food for the winter, and he can carry the boulder on top of his head. Probably a piece of bread or something. Who knows? It's winter. It's been clear lately, but the white snowflakes coming down, they tumble effortlessly. out there in the sky. Guess who created it? God created it. God created it. Touched the baby's hands. Soft and gentle. Hear the baby's cry. Hear the teenager moan. Hear the adult's grief in the shadows of death. I want you to know that God created each person. God created each person, and when He created them, He put value on them. He created them as, in verse 13, as persons under the eye of the Son He loves. Yes. Verses 13 and 17 of our text here speak of God's creative work in our lives. Verse 13 says that God rescued us. Some of your translations say delivered, I believe. God rescued us or delivered us out of darkness. How'd He do it? Here's how He did it. He introduced us to the Son He loves. God introduced us to the Son He loves, the Son who loves us. He provided a way in Jesus Christ so that we could join God's kingdom. And I want you to know that His kingdom is more than the earthly realms. It's more than the earthly realms and dominions and authorities and powers here, okay? It's more than all that. It's a kingdom of life transformation. It's a kingdom of joy. It's a kingdom of forgiveness. Yeah, when we join Christ's kingdom, we're transformed. We have new joy. We learn forgiveness. We've been forgiven and we learn forgiveness. We experience God's ongoing creative work in our lives when we're part of this kingdom. God's ongoing work, listen to this, every minute right into the future. I want you to hear this today. All of that starts with God. It all starts with God. God created us to serve Him. God created us to live for Him. And God created us to share Him with others. All that so that He might be glorified. Yeah, we serve Him, we live for Him, and we share Him with others so that He gets praise, honor, and glory. And now we're on the cusp of the new year here. And on the cusp of the new year, don't miss this. Understand this. Creation starts with God. Creation starts with God, and God desires to give us a fresh start. That's why He rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Creation starts with God. Your life starts with God. Paul wrote this church. He knew the struggles of life. He knew the struggles of life. He knew the struggles of ministry when trying to do things for God. He knew the struggles of travel. He traveled a lot himself, and he knew the struggles of trying to make ends meet. Okay, I don't know what the price of eggs were back in those days, but I know there's $6 and something right now for about 18 of them. Okay. Yeah, he understood what it was to put the struggle to put food on the table. Paul understood the terror of enemies when he wrote to the Colossians here. Paul understood the tenderness of friends when he wrote to the Colossians here. Paul understood the everyday trials of life when he wrote to the Colossians here. Paul had experienced the mountaintop joys. Paul had experienced the dreadful valleys, you know, the dark times, the disappointments of life. And at the same time, in all of that, Paul achieved things in life. May I call it dreams? Paul says two things here. First, verse 16, every living thing starts with God. Yeah, every living thing. For in Him, all things were created. Every living thing starts with God. And then the second thing he says is that all things, to include your life, this is verse 17, hold together. He holds all things together. All things, to include your life, hold together. Some of your translations say consist with God. All things hold together with God, or all things consist with God. He's holding it all together. He started it, he's holding it all together. What Paul means here is that if you're following Jesus with all your heart, by following Jesus with all your heart, I'm talking about you make your life decisions based on, you know, based on God, based on Jesus, based on God's word. If you make your life decisions, the attitudes you have are based on God and His word. Your plans you make, your hopes, your dreams. If you follow Jesus with all your heart, Jesus will be intimately involved in all of those things. You'll always find Jesus at the center of your life decisions. If you walk with Jesus in your daily life, you depend on Christ, okay, He will hold your life together. He holds all things together. He'll hold your life together. Listen to this. He will give it meaning. He will give it purpose. You follow Him. You honor Him. He'll hold your life together and give it meaning and purpose. Verse 17 here. The Message translation of this is this. Everything got started in Him. Talking about Jesus. Everything got started in Him and finds purpose in Him. As you look to the new year, question. Does your life, as you face the new year, have purpose in God? I could ask that another way. Is he going to be your reference point in the new year? What does your life start with? What's your reference point? Is it your checkbook? Is it your spouse? Is it your friend? Is it your job? Going to give you four elements of a life lived in God's purpose. If God's your reference point, four elements of a life lived in God's purpose. First of all, you're going to have peace in your life. You're going to have peace in your life. In fact, Paul started this letter in verse 2 here. He says in the second half of verse 2, grace and peace to you from God our Father. There's his introduction to him, and he says, grace and peace to you. In other words, he's writing to the church. If you're part of the church, he says, I know you have peace. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. So right from the beginning, that's how he pens his letter. Romans 5:1 tells us that we have peace with God, and we have access to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you know Christ as your Savior, you have peace with God, according to Romans 5:1. Now, this peace here, this is more than some politicians sitting around a table trying to talk world peace or peace between nations. This is more than the Russians and the Ukrainians talking, you know, trying to make peace. And there'll be some other people involved in that. You probably heard that's going to supposedly happen, you know. But it's more than a bunch of politicians sitting around discussing all that. It's more than a protest against the war where people walk around with signs declaring peace. It's more than a bunch of tie-dyed T-shirts with peace and different little things written on it. Okay, you can probably remember that. Okay, maybe in the 60s if you're that old. Okay. Now, this is a different kind of peace. It's a personal revolutionary, life-changing peace. Something special happens. It's the kind of peace in your life that is beyond understanding. It surpasses understanding. It's a special peace. That's why Paul would later admonish the Philippians that in prayer to present all things to God, and he said that the peace of God would transcend all understanding and guard their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. It's a special peace. Jesus is our peace. When you understand what he did for you, that'll give you peace. But real peace starts with God. So a life lived with purpose, and if God's going to be your purpose into this new year, it's going to start with you being in Christ and understanding your peace. Paul mentions here in verse 13 that you and I have been rescued or delivered. Rescued or delivered from that dark kingdom. A while back, so you got peace, you've been delivered, okay, or rescued. A while back, and I know it's a good while back, because I don't even have TV now, and I don't watch much TV, and I was watching TV then, and it was the evening news, and somebody was in a raft, and it got overturned in this roaring river, okay? So I watched on TV that these rescue workers throw out the rescue line to save these two people so that they could get pulled out of the water. They were rescued. They were rescued because they threw them a lifeline. Well, Christ threw us a lifeline too. He rescued us by going to the cross. And when he went to the cross and he shed his blood there, he rescued us from sin and darkness. Because if sin stays in our life, unconfessed sin stays in our life, and we don't get forgiven for, we're going to spend eternity in a dark kingdom. That's how he rescued us, or he delivered us. So understand this. God sent Christ to be born into the world, to head to the cross. And he sent him into the world at Christmas time to go to the cross so that he could shed his blood for us. And, there's the lifeline there. Okay, I want you to understand something there. The rescue or the deliverance here, it all starts with God. God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. But deliverance starts with God. So we got peace that comes from Jesus. We got deliverance that comes from Jesus, from God. And we have forgiveness. Paul here clearly praises God's creative work as a work of forgiveness of sins. Look at verse 14. He says, "In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." We were rescued from that dark kingdom and brought into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption. We were redeemed. The forgiveness of sins. Where would you and I be without the forgiveness of sins? Through Christ's blood on the cross. Where would we be without Christ's forgiveness? Because he does forgive us. And if he forgave us, shouldn't we forgive other people? Where would we be without that? We'd be a bunch of unforgiven people is what we'd be. We forgive because he first forgave us. He motivates forgiveness in us, in our relationships. So he forgave us. When we put our faith in him for shedding his blood on the cross for our sins, he forgave us. That we might forgive others. Here's the thing about forgiveness. You know what it does? It heals. When Christ forgave us, we were healed. No more sin. No more dark kingdom. We're in the kingdom of the Son he loves right now, which is now and into eternity. Forgiveness heals. But here's the thing about forgiveness. Understand this today. Guess who it starts with? It starts with God. It starts with God. Jump down to verses 20 to 22, and Paul mentions the word reconciled here, okay? Christ reconciles people to God and to others. Verse 22, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. Christ reconciles people to God and to each other. He does. Did you know that if you're not one of Christ's people, and that makes you a friend of the world? And if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. Did you know that? You're either in his kingdom or you're in the other kingdom. There's the dark kingdom and then there's Christ's kingdom. And I know, the only reason I know that is because James said that in James 4:4. If you're a friend with the world or the dark kingdom there, then you're an enemy of God. But through Christ, we become friends with God, and we learn that forgiveness, and then we learn to make enemies friends. So what God is doing with us is he's taken that which is broken and he's putting it all back together. When he rescued us from the dark kingdom, we were broken, and he's trying to put us all back together. It's like taking a rope that's severed, and okay, and you tie it back together. You bond it together. Well, guess who we're bonded to? We're bonded to Jesus Christ. We've been put that back together because we've been bonded by Jesus Christ. So that forgiveness, that reconciliation stuff there, that starts with God. It starts with God in your life. So what am I trying to tell you? It's a new year here, and it all starts with God. Creation starts with God. Your life starts with God. And the church, God's collective people, who are part of the kingdom, start with God. God's heart is threefold, or Paul's heart is threefold here in the text here. Paul has a heart for God, he's got a heart for people, and he's got a heart for the church. He extols God here, he ministers to people here in the text here, and he extols the church. Christ is the head of the body of the church. That's what verse 18 says. It says, and he is, talking about Jesus, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. So he's the head of the body, the church. But in that, he has the supremacy or the preeminence. He wants us to put him, he wants us to recognize him and put him in the preeminent place. Now, the new year's upon us, okay? New year's upon us, you know, here in the church, and, you know, we're a small church, and I pray we honor God into the year ahead through the reading of the Word, the obedience to the Word, and then just basically going out there and sharing the Word. And we probably won't have a zillion plans and a zillion programs and a million ministries, and so it won't be, the schedule won't be maddening, okay? And sometimes, with some of the bigger churches, they have a whole lot of stuff. We'll approach the year and think of our interpersonal relationships with people in the church and out of the church. You know, sometimes we have difficulties, and you know, difficulties arise, and been in church life a while, and I've seen people not get along in the church. That's a shame. But you know what? I just want to reflect on the church and what we're going to do in the coming year. We're going to honor God, and we're going to look to His Word, and we're going to sing His songs, and we're going to endeavor to try to obey His Word. And if we don't obey His Word, are any of you perfect? Because I'm not. Okay, so if you are, let's counsel together later. Okay, but when we mess up, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to say, God, forgive me. And then we're going to move on. And you know what we're going to move on to? We're going to move on to just continuing to obey the Lord, and we're going to move on and continuing to share about the Lord with other people so that the church body can grow. Other people might come in out of the kingdom of darkness and come into the church body, the kingdom of the Son he loves. That's what we're going to do as a church in the coming up year. But here's what I want you to understand today. Guess whose church it is? It's the Lord's church. That's right. It's the Lord's church. It's the Lord's church, and God's calling God's people to serve in that church. And then Paul says in verse 18 that when, as we're doing that, that Christ is to be supreme or be preeminent in all things. Yeah. So when we're serving him, when we're living out our life, we're supposed to give Christ the supremacy or the preeminence in how many things? In all things. Well, Pastor, all things, you don't mean my job. Yes, I do mean your job. Well, you don't mean my vacation. Yes, I do mean your vacation. You might be going someplace God doesn't want you to be. Well, you don't mean in my relationships, because I can handle that. No, of course, no, you can't handle your relationships. No, I mean in that too. Everything we do, give Christ the preeminence. Simply seeking what Christ would have you do in all areas of your life. That's giving him the preeminence. Then you'll be able to fully serve him and bring him honor and you bring him glory and bring him praise. And who knows the impact you might have on somebody else that they might say, I don't want to be in this dark kingdom anymore. I want to come into the kingdom you're a part of. And then you can say, well, I'm part of the kingdom of God, the kingdom and the kingdom of the Son he loves. So the question we should ask ourselves is he supreme in our church? Is he supreme in our worship? You know, the worship is more than just the singing. It's just everything we do, basically. Is he supreme in our ministry efforts? Is he supreme in the attitudes that we have inside here? You know the attitude. You know what I mean by attitudes, right? Do we look at people and start because maybe they're sinners or maybe they've done something to us or they've, who knows what it is, and we start bad-mouthing them and instead of looking at them and saying they need to know Jesus? That's what I mean by attitude. They need to know Jesus. Is Christ going to be preeminent in our service to him? You know, when we're out there trying to minister as a church representative, as one of God's people, are we going to minister like Christ would have us minister? Now, this past year, because we're past year, we're heading into the new year, it's certainly been one of financial challenges, hasn't it? Like I told you, it was like $6.67 the other day for eggs. You know, yeah, financial challenges, okay. Have we had crisis in family lives? You bet we have. A lot of things to pray about. A lot of things going on this past year. A lot of things that challenge us from last year as we head into this year. I mean, let's face it, when this past year, when we have government leaders that don't know the difference between a guy and a girl biologically, we got problems. Okay? We got problems. Okay? That was last year into this year. That's problems. Rumor has it that people don't want to work anymore. They've lost the will to work. They've allowed the nanny state to let them stay home and not work when they can go back. Because who is their God? It's the nanny state. Anyways, just giving you a taste of this last year. A snowstorm recently. You knew that, right? A bunch of people out in the Midwest. People lost lives. Closer to home here in New York, out in Buffalo. Do you know that I think it's 39 people in Erie County lost their lives that last snowstorm? 39 people that God sent His Son to die for. Yeah, no, it's been a difficult 2022 as we head into 2023. And you know what? Who knows what this year holds? Who knows what this year holds? But there's one thing important for the church. He was writing to the church in Colossae. There's one thing important for the church, whether it's the church at Colossae or the church right here or for any church. You know what that important thing is? We got to trust Christ. Yeah, we got to trust in Christ. We got to live our life in Christ. We got to trust in Christ. We got to serve Him as the one and only supreme God. We serve Christ and no one else. You a little tired from Christmas? A little weary? Worn out? You worn out from last night? Last night was New Year's. I confess, I was in bed by 10 o'clock. I didn't see the ball drop. I knew we had service today. It might have been 10:30, but no. You weary and worn out from Christmas, weary and worn out from New Year's. How about people in your life you're not sure you can trust? You got any of those in your life? You know, people you don't know if you can trust them? You ever feel like you're overworked? Maybe feeling an attitude of despair at times. Well, it's the week after Christmas. And the week after Christmas, approximately 2,000 years ago, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to the temple to performed so they could perform the Jewish purification rites. He'd get circumcised and he would get consecrated, and that gentleman named Simeon would be waiting there. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel to come in, and that was Jesus, the Messiah, Savior. And then soon after that particular year, Mary and Joseph, because the angel would speak to them in a dream, would have to flee to Egypt because Herod's soldiers would be coming to kill him. And then they'd go to Egypt, and at some point the angel would speak to them again and say it's okay to go back home now because Herod no longer is. He's dead. And from there, God's plans for salvation would simply unfold. Mary and Joseph would take Jesus back to grow up in Nazareth. And you know what happens from there. Ultimately, it's a life that leads to the cross. But God's plan of salvation for mankind, for men and for women, was unfolding. I'm assuming at this point, if you haven't done it already, you're going to put the Christmas boxes back in the attic. Have you already done that? You know, is Christmas already in the attic? I'm thinking more mentally, actually. Or are we still holding on to that Jesus came born into this world so that ultimately He could go to the cross? Yeah, new year ahead. Yeah, we have decisions to make. But you know, in all of that, let's not lose what Christmas was all about and where it went, that it was ultimately a destiny to the cross for Jesus. Remember what He did for us. He rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His own kingdom. That's what God did. Rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves who went to the cross. And here's the thing about Jesus. It all starts with Him. But you know what? Let Christ give you a fresh start. It's a new year. Let Christ give you a fresh start. Let Him renew your heart. Let Him renew your mind. Why should you do that? Well, remember this. Creation, it starts with God. So praise and thank God for it. Your life, it starts with God. So ask God today as you head into the new year to guide that life. Your church, the church you're part of, it starts with God. So in that church, serve Him. Serve Him in it. That starts with obeying the Scripture. and then just trust Him to bless it all. It's 2023. Everything starts with God. The new year starts with God. May it be a happy and blessed new year.